claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Well, Giuseppe, I'm hopeful that we have Joaquin Hagopian with us today because he's a sensational guy. He's doing such important work. I've just published his latest piece on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Here we have. Wonderful. We are delighted. I'm going to switch to a headset while you have the conversation. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Joaquin. I'm a huge admirer of your courageous work. I followed you since you burst on the scene several years ago. Stunning revelations. But, you know, I guess anyone who looks into the vile satanic nature of the globalist elite should not be surprised by this, but still, stunning revelations. And what brought you to go down that dark path of research?
Well, I was a therapist for many years. I hear an echo. I'm going to turn on my headphones here.
Yeah, that's good.
I was a licensed marriage family therapist for a lot of years in Los Angeles. And I worked with pedophilia victims. So it kind of gave me the background. Okay.
Are you still hearing an echo?
Not really. Well, yeah, a little bit with me, yes. But now I'm good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we are still getting an echo.
Let me disconnect for a second and reconnect to see if that solves it.
Okay.
Okay, doing this and then doing this. And okay, that should perhaps solve it from the shared data point of view. How's it now? Oh, great, great. Okay. Okay, please continue. You are a family therapist running into a shocking, I guess, quantitative level of pedophilia. Okay, test, are you there? Oh, do you have your speakers on? Do you have a control to take down your normal, do you have the program running, like, through a browser window or something, or? Yep. Looks like we're having a bit of a problem. Mitchell, do you hear Jim? Jim just spoke. Oh, I'm speaking to our producer, Joaquin. Okay, Mitchell, you might have to restart on your end real quick, like we did the other last week, because I Okay, now let me reconnect, and it should be okay. Let's do this. What the heck? Let's go that way. Add this. Share Skype. Okay, we should be all good to go now. Mitchell, can you hear? Oh, you can always hear me. Go ahead, Joaquin.
Okay, you guys.
Yeah,
you guys can see.
I think we're good to go. You're explaining how you were working in family services in L.A. and you're discovering massive pedophilia taking place.
Yeah, I was discovering a lot of that. And I also discovered how dysfunctional our children's protective system is. Working with the largest county service in the country, I was able to see up close and personal how the decision makers, the judges in the children's court, and the social workers from the children's services were not making the best decisions in the interests of the children. They were placing them in harm's way. And I found that my voice as their therapist was not being heard. I was not at times even allowed into the courtroom where they're making these life and death decisions with these poor kids' lives, and they weren't willing to listen to their therapist because I was not in agreement with their decision making. So I saw clients of mine who were children, anywhere from like 7, 8, right up to, 18 when they leave the system, be placed in harm's way in placements where they get further abused. And I saw it more than once. It was like almost, I wouldn't say a regular thing, but it was a frequent experience that I had with the very broken system that couldn't even track all these kids that they had open files on. So, yeah, it opened my eyes big time.
Well, you've done a sensational job with all of your publications in this area, and I was so grateful when Robert David Steele was supporting you, aiding and abetting, publishing your stuff. And, of course, we've suffered the indignity of his loss, where he entered a hospital with ivermectin in hand and insisting he not be put on a ventilator, and perhaps because of his expansive, forceful personality, they subdued him with a sedative and then put him on a ventilator, never gave him the ivermectin, and killed him. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Exactly right.
A devastating loss.
The man was brilliant. He was a movement unto himself as far as trying to help humanity. He had a huge heart. It was just tragic. But, his story is the story of thousands and thousands of people in the hospital system in the United States for the last couple of years. I would say as long as pretty much the pandemic, so-called, has been going on. They've had a protocol, and it comes straight from Fauci, that their protocol is to stick them on remdesivir, which clogs up the system with the kidney damage. It also causes fluids in the lungs, and they stick them on these incubators, ventilators, that actually end up between the drug and the ventilator killing the patient. And this is their protocol. It's a disgrace.
Right. How can a poison like remdesivir be a part of the standard treatment for COVID patients, which is going to have deadly effects? I mean, that's just stunning. I'm convinced Fauci was actually involved in the design of these drugs. Giuseppe has even described it as AIDS of the lung. When you receive this, it destroys your antibodies. Fauci was very big in the field of AIDS and HIV. And Luc Montagnier, who is the leading virologist in the world, has now kicked the bucket shortly after declaring that the injections include HIV. And I think this all points directly to Tony the Rat, that RFK Jr. has done a brilliant book exposing Fauci, and that this guy should be the highest paid member of the American government and be such a scurrilous scumbag who's feigns to be looking out for our best interests while he's perpetrating mass murder is just about as low as it could go.
Yeah. Well, these guys like Fauci and Gates, their days are numbered. I really, they're the fall guys that the elite's throwing out there to the public. You know, in the French Revolution days, you know, it's like we want blood, you know, like that. And these guys are clearly mass murdering, genocidal maniacs. Yet they end up, huge positions in our country because the system is founded upon psychopathy. You got to be one of them to be up there in the gatekeeping ranks. And, so they've managed to, and that goes, planet wide in all the various systems. Whether it ends up the child protective system, there's gatekeepers at the top that are part of this whole global network where it's a pipeline directly to the trafficking scum that abduct these kids and a lot of runaways in the system. And it goes right into, the whole the Center for Disease Control, Fauci et al. And all of these. And then Bill Gates uses the billions to basically capture and become the king in the media, become the he's a college dropout. And the guy comes on like he's the expert on the whole vaccine, goes around killing third world people. They got lawsuits against him. I mean, he's up for murder in India. I mean, yet these guys have been able to get away with it for so long, which is a testimony to how ugly and evil and murderous our system is in every aspect. I mean, we're talking every institutional kind of structure there is, from education to the mass media to the entertainment industry, certainly to the corrupt government that's wholly behind the whole big pharma movement here, that they're the perpetrators of genocide, and they all need to be held accountable, every one of them. And we're hopeful that Reiner Filmich and his team can really do something at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. And there's also, Tom Rentz is out there putting national lawsuits. I mean, he's done a lot of work now with uncovering all kinds of horror of cover-up in the Department of Defense. They're taking medical records and they're doctoring them up right and left to try and protect themselves. We got the goods on all these evil people that are trying to murder the human race, and we just have to now hold them to account. And that's a big mission, but the truth shall set us all free. And I believe that it may take a while. I hope not, but I know that truth will prevail, and these people will get what's coming to them.
Well, the DOD results are especially significant because that's a controlled population sample. They have statistics that heretofore have been impeccable, and we have 1,000%, 800%, 400% increases in a whole host of categories of maladies, esophageal, pancreatic cancer, infertility. I mean, it's grotesque. I'm very proud that my Senator Ron Johnson had his COVID-19 a second opinion conference where he brought forth experts like Robert Malone, who, of course, was the inventor of the mRNA technology, to speak out against its abuse, and Peter McCullough, who is the most frequently cited medical expert in the world, it would appear.
Yeah.
I mean, Ron Johnson has been doing a great job, and you can't believe how they're trying to trash him and imply he's in it for himself when he's anything but. This is a guy I wasn't quite convinced when he first came into office, but my God, now I'm a true believer in Ron Johnson, and I'm going to support him as strongly as I possibly can. But, you know, Joaquim, when you look at the Biden administration, we have recent polling. It was even from CNN, which is sympathetic to the left, that 56% of the public cannot find a single thing, not one thing that Biden has done in office of which they approve, opening the borders, creating chaos, runaway inflation, astronomical gas prices, making us energy dependent again. When Kamala Harris was selected, it was not the DNC or the Democratic Party who picked her. It was Alexander Soros, on behalf of his father, who appointed her. And if you consider Soros has been behind funding all these DAs who are not enforcing the law, turning the criminals out on the street right and left, destroying the law enforcement system, no doubt backing, you know, defunding the police, backing Antifa and Black Lives Matter. I think we have an administration where the de facto president actually is George Soros, whose lifelong dream is to destroy America. Does that fit with your perception of things?
Totally, totally. Yeah, I mean, this guy, it's just so insane that criminals like this have been allowed to remain in power and do so much earthly damage. But again, you know, all of it speaks to the fact that the system has got to be totally revamped. I mean, it's got to be stripped clean and started over. To have people like this that are just out to make havoc and you know, unrest and revolution in the wrong direction, just basically for totalitarian regimes creating all over the world. I mean, the guy's been at it for 30, 40 years now and not held accountable. So, yeah, he's another one. And his son will be tried in a tribunal. And so, yeah, I mean, they have captured the whole government. They've captured the medical field. Obviously, Big Pharma owns the government as far as the health services. And the mass media, they're all in it together. They're all criminals, and they're all going to be held to account in tribunals or courts of law. And they're coming. I mean, there's so many being filed all over the world now. So it's just a matter of time before they finally are. And this whole madness of the mandates, it's going to be a lot of the European countries are already letting up on all their restrictions. So we've turned the corner, actually, I think, as far as with the public. I think that the situation up in Ottawa, Canada, is really a turning point. That was the main event that became the turning point in the truth movement for medical freedom and justice. So I'm very happy with how things have been developed. I mean, you and me, Jim, have been like crying about all this stuff for so long and trying to get, you know, people to understand the gravity of our situation. And it finally is moving in the direction where it needs to be. Now, the thing is that we have a whole power structure that's taken many, many centuries to get where it is. And they're not going to give up their power You caught us. Okay, we're going to stop all the bad and we're going to be good guys now. It doesn't work like that. So they're going to try and take out as many people as possible. Flight to them is cheap. They actually, I've done a lot of study of psychopathy as a therapist and a writer, and these people actually get off on human suffering. And the more people that suffer, die, the better they feel. They really don't have a heart. They don't have a soul. And so all they have is this predatory kind of parasitical nature of feeding off of others for their own, life and their lifeblood and self-importance. And,
they're both sadistic and genocidal, a really bad combination. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I know that Joaquin is based in Los Angeles, California, and if we're thinking he's some type of a granola eating kumbaya singing libtard, that's not the case. He's actually a West Point graduate and a former Army officer. And Joaquin, could you tell us a little bit about how you went through the military training system and still came to see this satanic evil that controls everything like a malignancy worldwide, these globalists, how you woke up to who's literally behind the curtain?
Well, as a young lad there at West Point, I basically discovered how if you make an academy like West Point in Annapolis, you're usually a good student in high school and you're usually an athlete. And so you're a big wheel on campus, so to speak. But their system in the first, particularly the first 2 months there, called Beast Barracks at West Point, they strip you down and you become the lowest of the lowest. And it's all done very systematically. And then they have a reward system there where the more that you follow the rules and then obey the rules by basically turning other people in for their violation of rules, the more you're rewarded. And so this is kind of the nature of how these psychopaths end up in these positions of power in our country. And I saw it up close and personal. And so I got into trouble. I won't go into too much detail here because I don't want to take up the hour with it. But just briefly, I was somewhat – this is also the last 4 years of the Vietnam War, 1969 to 1973, that I attended West Point. And so obviously there was a big anti-war movement that finally, got us out of there in 73. And the year that I graduated. And so anyway, by the end of my third year, I was pretty much a rebel. And I didn't believe in a lot of the rules. And I believed in individuality and right and wrong. And I did not get into the ass-kissing system. That's also ingratiation toward your superior officers, all that. You get ahead by being very political. And that's how the system that breeds the generals like Petraeus, that was there in Iraq and Afghanistan. My roommate, my freshman roommate, he currently actually is the ambassador of Saudi Arabia now, has been for about 3-4 years now. And anyway, he's a good guy, but he rose up in the system and became a 4-star general. And John Abizade is his name. And my other roommate, at the same time that I was the roommate of John, I was the roommate of Carl Eikenberry. And after he left the military, the day after when he retired, Obama made him the ambassador of Afghanistan. I went to school with the top people and because that's what they do. They groom these basically politician, bureaucratic generals that just push the system and the rules and ingratiate their way up a seniority ladder up to the top and are rewarded following the rules again. You know, I mean, they have the politicians that tell the generals what to do. And there's a famous quote by Henry Kissinger that basically gives away how a lot of the politicians that are in charge of the Department of Defense. Oh, by the way, I was the assistant squad leader to Lloyd Austin, the current treason Secretary of Defense. Yeah, he's corrupt as they come. I was the assistant squad leader of this guy, and when he was a freshman. And
he's a total mediocrity, Joaquin. I mean, he's
everything
redeeming.
That I've been talking about. You know, the type of general that rises to the top. There it is. He's the classic case of it, along with Petraeus and the rest of them. Eikenberry and Abizade, actually, I think, are good guys. I haven't kept in touch with them for a long time, but I think they're a little bit of the different mold. I think they had some degree of integrity still. But certainly the ones that end up in the highest positions, like Secretary of Defense or President or whatever, these guys are definitely psychopaths. Or they wouldn't be up that high. You know, that's the way the system operates. I'll just tie it up in one sentence now. So all these asinine rules I didn't believe in. So by the end of my junior year, the colonel brought the major, who was the tactical officer, into his office and said, this guy and this guy, we were roommates, they have to go. And so basically, they came down into our rooms and started giving us all these demerits that were false. And in the last 2 weeks of the term, they needed 25 demerits to get me over the allowable limit for a 6-month term. They managed to do it on the very last day. And so I was by 5 demerits.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yes, so by the end of my third year, they railroaded me out of the academy, running up my demerits in the last couple of weeks, and I was over by 5 demerits. And so I took them to court for failure to allow due process of law, one of our cherished rights in the Constitution. And I managed to be the first cadet ever to legally challenge the West Point system and beat them in court. And so they actually did kick me out. And I had to go down to New York City and take them to court, the federal district court down there in New York. So I was able to get back from my final senior year and graduate. And then I had to kind of go through the whole same process all over again. But anyway, we need to be moving on from there. But yeah, I saw up close and personal the power structure of this country. Basically, cadets have this honor code. They do not lie, cheat, or steal. But boy, the officers in charge that own their lives, they lie, cheat, and steal right and left. And they were doing it all throughout basically the Vietnam years. And it was the last 4 years. So it was all getting exposed. And so we know, you know, in 73, they came home. In 74, by August, Nixon was out, Watergate, you know. It was a crazy time. And at a very early age, I saw the power structure for what it is. And I pretty much have always been questioning and doubting the truth of everything that the government has been saying ever since. Because I, you know, saw how they lie right directly to my face. So, yeah, it was an early lesson in life. And so I've always been pursuing the truth and getting in trouble for it. You know, I mean, that's just the way the system operates. I have integrity. I cannot like know that something is wrong and going around me and just ignore it because I don't want to make waves. You know, I can't do that. I have to be honest and stand up for what's right.
And I'm so, the right, same way. I'll tell you, yeah, you are as
I know
fearless.
You
are as fearless a truth seeker as I have ever known. I admire you beyond words.
Hey, well, the feeling is mutual, really, Jim. You've done so much with false flags. You are basically the king of the false flags, you know, as far as, you know, getting in there and telling it like it is, you know. So, yeah, we've been at it for a long time, you know, whether I was actually in the military and then in the I went to school and got my master's and became the licensed therapist. You know, I worked with the children, and I love these kids. I mean, they're the purity. They are as far as in the human form, they're the closest thing that we see in God. God on earth is through children, the innocents. And so when you see the horrors that, that go on this earth, particularly with these people that we are talking about, that control so many people's lives, and they're just so ruthless and psychopathic, and they're killers. So we got to do something about it, and we've got to stand up for the truth and justice, and we got to do it for humanity, because it's down to, you know, they want us dead. They want everybody jabbed. Your DNA is altered forever. You are no longer even considered human by the courts. You know, there's a court case, I believe, in 2013 in the Supreme Court that actually, you know, said that you belong to the patent that owns you now. So yeah, you don't even have human rights, you know, much less what it does to you. And we don't need to get into that, because I know we've all covered all that ground. So yeah, I mean, there's just so much horror that we have to fight, and, you know, people are standing up. So, you know, it's a good thing.
Giuseppe.
Wow. Excellent points, Joaquin. And I salute you as well as Jim does. I mean, you have, as they say in the hood, you got some big balls, and that's fantastic. And so my question to you is, this goes back a long, long way. I mean, you could argue that it began around the turn of the 19th century with the whole synagogue of Satan and Zionism becoming in the 1890s the World Zionist Congress, and they set about a plan like the satanic malignancy they are to infiltrate essentially all first world Western governments, and they have succeeded in doing that. And so and you could argue it goes back even millennia. I mean, I don't know if you've ever studied the work of Eustace Mullins or others who look at this kind of the satanic dark cult has been around since the time of the Sumerians and the Babylonians, and they just changed their names. They were the Canaanites, then they're the Phoenicians, then they're the Venetians, then they're the Hidden Hand, and they seem to have this bizarre level of almost otherworldly organization and guidance. And people like us who are fighting them, we don't have that type of generational organization. So do you have any thoughts on how far back this goes and how they remain so incredibly generationally organized?
It goes back into ancient times. I have a chapter in the first book that carries it from the ancient times. In ancient cultures, they've done blood sacrifices forever. The Canaanites, the Babylonians, you know, I mean, they were all engaging in that kind of occult ritual, blood sacrifice, pedophilia, all of them. I mean, I even have a chapter. I know I get into the woo-woo land when I talk about extraterrestrials, but I think most people actually accept that there are very likely extraterrestrials. And, you know, we have evidence that, they actually had a meeting with a West Point graduate named Dwight Eisenhower back in the 50s when he was president, and there was an exchange. You know, they were supposed to give us the technology that they have, and basically he basically said, okay, so, and they betrayed the deal that was made, and ultimately they use us as guinea pigs, you know, in the same way that they're, the ones that worship them. I believe that Fauci and all these people are Satanists, and they have their deities, you know, from the ancient times that they worship, and they engage in all the horrific kinds of occult rituals that, Stanley Kubrick, filmed in Eyes Wide Shut, you know, and then they killed him even before he finished the film editing on that film.
Right.
They got him. And, of course, he also was the director of the moon landing that didn't happen on the moon. They've been doing it a long time, and that's the power structure that has pretty much controlled the earth. They've been in control of the earth for a long, long time. I have a chapter where I even get into the extraterrestrials with the Anunnakis. They're just one of many, but they actually had the technology. And there's a lot of evidence, and it's all documented and scientific. But they actually had the technology to basically take the primate, the local primate, the Homo erectus, and then tweak their DNA with their own DNA and create the human beings. Now, I know a lot of religious people really have a problem with that. Trust me, I'm a believer in God, and God is the creator of all of us. All the humans God has created. But there are technologies that some of these advanced extraterrestrials. Now, the Anunnakis were, and they came down to Earth to basically colonize the Earth, and they created the humans because their own refused to do the work, very hard work. So they created humans as slaves. And basically, for the last, 250,000 years, I maintain, the humans have been slaves and basically owned and controlled by a very primitive, spiritually corrupted group of entities, be they psychopathic, soulless humans or actual ETs, likely Anunnakis. But there's others involved too. And then there's the good ones too. But we don't want to get too far off from the basis of reality, because a lot of people really challenge my stuff on that. But they liked everything else, but a lot of the more religious types did not like my chapter where I get back. But I just wanted to show, that this very primitive element that is parasitic has been in control forever.
Exactly
right. Humans, the good humans with hearts and souls, they have been manipulated as slaves forever. And so this is what we're up against, a system that's been in place forever, as far as, if you want to go back, whatever it is, but, we are the good force to try and do God's work here on the earth while we're here. And that's basically to rid the world of the evil that's being done.
Wow. Well stated. I'd like a follow up, which is, it doesn't just have to be extraterrestrial. I mean, if you look at quantum physics and quantum mathematics, it's pretty much proven that there is infinite dimensions, and there pretty much is a multiverse. And so something that had the level of technology that to create a wormhole or some type of portal could have come in many, many millennia ago and achieved the same results. It could be all of the above, but it's funny how individuals, there has been such an effort by these Satanists to create this belief in materialism and science. In reality, is scientism, because it's all basically a bunch of lies. And yet, the specious lies, so it's believable, and you get these trained dancing monkeys in these various academic pursuits to claim all these things, and they build upon each other's works. But as they say in programming, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, you can have this whole trail of specious false beliefs that supposedly science, when in reality it has nothing to do. It's a fictional narrative. And I think that's what we're looking at in all aspects of, especially the last couple of centuries, with the introduction of all this technology, which suddenly appears out of nowhere, right? All of a sudden we're using tube radio and literal tube computing, and very primitive. And all of a sudden somebody figures out how to create a microcircuit. I mean, it was introduced into the reality. They're always seeding this reality. And where I'm going with this is, the agenda that these Satanists appear to be serving is one of transhumanism, where the nature is divine. Humans in their pure creation are divine. And it even, so what are these Satanists doing? They're trying to now hack the human genome. They don't know what they're doing. They're just going to become mass murderers and create all these type of bizarre mutations that they don't know what they're doing. And secondly, in the last 100 years, they've wiped out Synagogue of Satan types. They've wiped out 80% of all species on this planet. I mean, you know, they're all controlled by this satanic hierarchical pyramid. I mean, big pharma, big agri, big chemical, big war, now sadly big academia, big government. They're all controlled by this so-called hidden hand. And I mean, they are winning. And this idea to introduce this singularity fostering via trillions of dollars and almost unlimited power with these technocrats, these young psychopaths who are trying to literally create not just the Internet of Things, but the Internet of Bodies, where they can be physically enslaved as this type of cyborg subhuman transhuman in service of this singularity, which is some type of demonic or satanic or Balian consciousness that can come into this reality. I mean, if you want to go down the rabbit hole, this is dark, dark stuff. Do you have any thoughts on this singularity and the whole transhumanism movement?
Yeah, I mean, you articulated very, very well. It's all part of their plan, and everything that they do, they spend 20 years, 30 years, 50 years in advance plotting it and scheming it. But yeah, that's where it's headed. It's very clear. But the good thing is that it's never been more exposed than it is right at this moment. And the fact that people are questioning it and realizing that we've been told lies in every aspect, from education to science, to government, to history, to everything, religion, everything. It's all been lies. And for a very maniacal, satanic purpose. So, you know, with the understanding that we have been lied to comes the accountability that's to follow. So we're on the right track, you know. But I think it's sad that we kind of fell asleep as a human species at the wheel and allowed these creatures to, further their technology for their wicked ends, you know. But we caught them. We now they're exposed, and so we have the ability to stop it. And it starts with basically just not following the orders. Just like what I did at West Point, I didn't follow all the stupid rules. Well, you know, when they're pushing things that are actually harmful to us down our throats, we must object and use civil disobedience. We got some great role models in Martin Luther King Jr. and Mahatma Gandhi and a bunch of others as well. So we got to step up to the plate and do what's right by humanity for all of us, for the sake of God and for the sake of love.
Joaquin, I'd like a thumbnail sketch of our president, say, from Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan forward. What's your assessment of them as human beings, their level of morality, intelligence?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you mentioned Jimmy Carter. He's actually the first and, I believe, only Naval Academy. The Senator McCain from Arizona was also a Naval Academy grad. He was part of the dark side evil group. Oh boy. But, Jimmy Carter was one of these guys that, he was the, go along to get along kind of guy, likable and all that. And, you know, had some good stuff, but I think the Reagan movement kind of overcrowded. They did the whole Iran situation, to get rid of him in the 4 years. But every president really since John F. Kennedy, he was the last president that actually tried to right the wrongs and do what's right for the people. And then he died for it. But every president has been they're part of the club. They've already sold their soul to the devil before they become the president. and they do what they're told. They're puppets, all of them. All the leaders of the world, you know, prime ministers and presidents and everybody else that's on the political structure, they're all just pure puppets. They do what they're told. They know that if they step out of line, they're going to be dead, like JFK.
Well, I'm inclined to think that the reason Reagan was shot was to convey the message, let George do it. And after the assassination, GHWB was basically running the country.
Yeah.
That he wasn't supposed to lose to Bill Clinton. It just seems to me Ronald Reagan was a relatively upright guy. I mean, limited in ways, but he was not a level of corruption of the most of the subsequent presidents. Right. And I'm particularly interested in your opinion about Donald Trump, whom I have long admired with certain qualifications.
Yeah. Well, I guess I would also be one of that group. You know, he did some good things. He believed in America. I mean, I have no doubt. He was a patriot, is a patriot. And he was the only of all these presidents, the only one to address pedophilia prior to him actually going into office back in October of 2012, before he even ran. He said, hey, we got to do something about these, you know, sickos that are doing all these bad things to our children. And he was basically for the death penalty. The reality is, when he was president, there was more action taken against cleaning up the pedophilia than at any other time with any other president. And even though he's been criticized for running with Jeffrey Epstein as a friend, you know, he, in New Yorker magazine, oh, yeah, he's a good guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, he likes the young ones, like that. But he also, the lawyer for representing the victims of Jeffrey Epstein, said that he was the only person that they contacted that actually cooperated and gave them useful information for the you know, lawsuits that the girls were having. So yeah, I have mixed feelings about him. I think he really did attempt to. He was basically for the autonomy of the United States. He was not for the Chinese Communist Party sellout. And, you know, with the one world government, which is, you know, where the whole movement's headed. And he tried to put a stop. I mean, anytime you end up with somebody who was so hated by so many people on the left, you know, that tells you, I mean, there's nobody else. I mean, whether it's Republican or Democrat, it's the same thing, basically. And they're all owned by the same power interests, you know. But this guy is so hated. So, I mean, you know, there's something to that. He actually is a patriot for the United States having an autonomy and a strong force in the world for good. And he tried to do something about pedophilia. And he was the first president in a long time not to start another war. And so there's a lot of good points about him. There's a few negative. I think he was basically, you know, his son-in-law. I think that man's evil. And part of the whole dark side of the, you know, satanic world. He got taken in by that. He was manipulated by the Zionists of Israel. You know, I mean, there's some negative points, but I mean, the swamp is so deep. You know, I'm not going to like apologize. He tried, but it's so deep. And I don't think he realized it at the time, going into the presidency, just how deep it runs.
Do you think if he were to return to the presidency, he could do a lot of good?
I think if things are really turning around and we get momentum and he comes back, I think we got to get rid of these people that have been around forever doing their horror. And so, yeah, if the swamp gets somewhat cleaned up before he actually reappears on the scene as the U.S. president, then I think I'm pretty optimistic that we can, you know, get a lot more done.
Your views correspond with mine to a very high degree. I think he's flawed, but a good guy who really does put America first and has principle in spite of the fact that many deny he has any. That's just ridiculous. Right. He's totally racially open. He doesn't care whether you're black, white, or purple. I mean, I think he's basically a good guy.
Yeah, I agree. So I, you know, I hope, you know, we all know that the corruption was so deep, they did steal the election and he should be president right now. Hopefully that can get turned around too, but you know, the wheels turn very slowly, but slowly but surely, I think things are changing for the better.
Giuseppe.
Oh, wow. Amazing points. I have to agree. To me, I don't know if you're familiar with the, classic movie with Burt Lancaster, Elmer Gantry, and the it was a play, and where Elmer Gantry, Burt Lancaster, is a criminal on the run, and he comes into a small Missouri town, and they mistake him for their new preacher, Reverend, coming in, and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm the Reverend, and he comes in and reads the Bible and memorizes it and becomes a great preacher, and then his past catches up with him. And in some ways, I think the reason that the deep state and the hidden hand vilify Trump and hate him so much is he started to believe his role. I think that a big part of him is a nationalist, is a populist, and really loves America. And the only way this gets solved is a return to you know, nationalism for each of these countries. And because the UN is completely controlled by the Rothschild satanic empire. And so unless individual countries somehow wake up and take back their governments and then, you know, get your own house in order, then begin to cooperate globally, nothing's ever going to change. So I guess we're coming up on the break. I guess we should save the answer until after the break.
Hi.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Joaquin. Yeah, please come back soon.
We're thrilled to have you. We want to have you back.
Sure. Any
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. 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 Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
What a terrific guy, Giuseppe, and that he's going to be a host on Revolution Radio. I'm ecstatic about that.
Oh, yeah. I thought we had 2 hours, so I didn't promo his stuff, but Joaquim Hagopian is a true hero. His website is pedoempire.org, pedoempire.org, and he's joining Revolution Radio. It's going to be Fridays, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern time. So what a great addition to the stable of talented Revolution Radio hosts. Now, Uncle Jim, I think your favorite nephew has joined the show. Scorpio, are you there?
Indeed, I am. Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Oh, wonderful to have you here, Scorpio. Give us your thoughts about all of the above.
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you, Jim, and Giuseppe. I've been listening to the show for the first hour. I'm really disappointed that Joaquim's not going to be on the second hour. I thought it was a fantastic interview, and you guys, you know, just scratched the surface with him. Yeah. His worldview is pretty spot on. I agree with most of it. There's just two places where I want to sort of make exception, and I think it brings up a great discussion, especially the second point. The first point is, you know, talking about Zachariah Sitchin and the Anunnaki. Zachariah Sitchin's a pretty dodgy character, you know, an Israeli, and a lot of people say he was essentially a con man who did not translate the Sumerian text properly. That his translations are so far off that either he doesn't know what he's doing or it was deliberate. And other people that have met him personally have just told some strange stories about the validity of even him believing what he wrote. And, you know, Sitchin had this huge office space in downtown Manhattan. The guy had tons and tons of money. I don't know. So just he's a dodgy character. I don't know that I agree with anything about the Anunnaki story. It kind of comes down to sort of a religious belief system in more ways than one. But I think the important thing that I really wanted to touch on was, you know, earlier in the show, Joaquin had said that he thought that these people were going to stand trial. And I agree they should. There's no question. But the problem I have with that is there's no mechanism currently by which that's going to happen. The ICC, International Criminal Court, is closely tied to the United Nations. I don't see how it would possibly happen through there or anywhere else. So I don't know. Maybe Jim or someone that calls in can explain to me the mechanism by which that's going to happen under the current system. But his overall view that the entire system, all the big points of it are deeply corrupt, is spot on. It's all controlled from a central source, which is why I've been saying for a long time, we have to decentralize power. That's the first thing that has to happen. And lastly, I'd just like to say that his idea that we have to stop following orders is spot on. It's exactly what we have to do. But I have serious misgivings about Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi. I think there was a force behind them because the powers that be wanted those two events to happen. And I don't think peaceful protest is going to solve this problem, unfortunately.
Wow, those
are
great
thoughts, Steve. Yeah, go ahead, Joseph.
Oh, I have a question for Scorpio. I totally agree with everything you said, except that, you know, I guess the Anunnaki is just a platform for a narrative for sharing the information. You know, basically what he's saying, it could be extra dimensional. It's you yourself say it's off-worldly dark intelligence that drives this narrative generation after generation, which I agree. So I totally don't believe the Sitchin stuff myself, but you know, basically the narrative is correct, is it not?
Well, I think to some degree, other than the idea that I don't know how far back it goes. But to some degree it does. That's true. But the idea that the Anunnaki had this planet that revolves around the sun every 3,000 years or whatever it is, right. It has this elliptical orbit. I just don't buy any of that. And there's just been too many people that have talked about Sitchin as being sort of a con man and not even believing his own work. So, but I do think there's some kind of extra-dimensional force at work here. I just don't think that Sitchin's necessarily the best, you know, example to bring up. That's all.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I certainly believe there are extraterrestrials. I do believe something happened at Roswell. I have seen video that looked authentic of small grays being escorted. I do believe we may have reverse engineered some benefits from whatever happened at Roswell. It may have happened in other locales, but I think evolution, on which I published, can account for the emergence of human mentality. In fact, my book, The Evolution of Intelligence, is really devoted to the emergence of human minds from animal minds, the higher primates especially, and earlier animal minds. And in fact, there's a distribution of levels or types of mentality that corresponds to the evolutionary scale. So, I mean, this is all something on which I've done quite a lot of research. So the idea of a intervention to create human beings by ETs, that I do not see that. I don't see, we don't need that hypothesis. I think we can account for the emergence of human intelligence without adopting that hypothesis, which thus becomes superfluous, using the principle of, known as Occam's razor, of economy, simplicity, or elegance. But with that aside, I think what he's doing is really quite heroic, and all this stuff with the pedophilia, man, the guy's like a bulldozer out there, just pushing and shoving and making way and getting it out there, absolutely fearless. I mean, I just admire him beyond words.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's a great guest. I was hoping to have a discussion with him about what, you know, we could do with you guys. What mechanism is there by which we're going to have any kind of tribunals or trials? I think that's all just, unfortunately, fantasy. I don't think it's possible. We don't have the mechanism that can do that. And the ICC, anyone that thinks that's going to do anything, I think is just whistling Dixie.
I'll tell you what it is doing, Scorpio. he's opened it up to the public, and the presentations are just phenomenal. I mean,
I agree.
There are a good number on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, Michael Ivey, who manages the for me, the site, is doing a wonderful job of getting stuff up there, even programs beyond those in which I'm personally participating. And so, I mean, I think the evidence is staggering that some of these presentations are virtually breathtaking, and they leave no doubt at all about the degree of corruption, the malevolence motivating that it is indeed a genocidal globalist at work here. I mean, I think this has been an educational experience, and you cannot anticipate the consequences that can flow from actually knowing the score. The first thing, if you're going to accomplish a goal, is to know the truth about the situation you're in. And I think what's going on here is making everyone who's paying attention aware of what the real parameters are of the situation we're in that better prepare us than to accomplish such goals as may be feasible or not. But I think it's a major, major contribution. Giuseppe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim, since you wrote this book on evolution, I have a question for you. How is it that evolution can occur without some type of higher technological guidance, right? I mean, how is it that evolution, which I consider to be only a theory and not an accurate one, it could, you know, the level of technology, if the so-called narrative where life just spontaneously occurred because of lightning or some type of energy striking these chemicals that cause single cells, and then these single cells just randomly are driven to continue to grow, it makes absolutely no sense when you apply Occam's razor. There has to be some type of intelligence, some type of energetics that drive that process. It's impossible to have just happen randomly. It's not. They in labs today, they can't recreate the so-called creation of life on this planet. And they have all the technology needed to simulate the lightning or whatever type of energy spark, and they have the amino acids, and they can't do it. So I think that the whole idea of evolution, Jim, is once again a very, you know, it's the shift towards materialism and relativism, which is what the synagogue of Satan wants. They want to take out some type of higher intelligence or higher technology that, in my opinion, is the only way life could have ever began on this planet.
Well, if you think evolution just involves random mutations and, you know, natural selection, you're not going to have a theory that's adequate to the phenomena. There are 8 different mechanisms of evolution that I elaborate in my book, where I also discuss the differences between genetic evolution and cultural evolution, which are simply overwhelmingly important to understand.
Right, right.
As being distinctive. But you have 4 different mechanisms for generating diversity in a species and 4 other mechanisms for selecting which among those representatives of the species survive to reproduce, so that you have this incremental process that by a very complex selection of diverse organisms, you're able to have those that succeed in surviving to reproduce, so that you have the outcome looking like something that happened by design, when it in fact was generated, as it were, from the bottom up. Huh. You do have genetic mutation. You do have sexual reproduction, and the benefit of sexual reproduction is introducing greater genetic selection into the genetic diversity into the gene pool. You do have genetic engineering eventually. You also have what's very, very important called genetic drift, namely when you have a subpopulation in a geographical vicinity that it's subjected to different pressures for adaption. This is how the races originated, all coming out of Africa, but going to very different locales, where they had to adapt to the seasons. For example, in Africa, that wasn't necessary. You had a relatively constant environment. And then you got four different mechanisms of selection. You got natural selection, which is a competition among species. You got sexual selection. Why some members of the species are more attractive to the opposite sex. You got group selection of how the organization of individuals makes a difference. And then you got artificial selection, which is intruding into the natural. This is like the stud farm. Artificial selecting which of the organisms is going to, which of the horses is going to, you know, reproduce with which of the mares, all this at a high expense. You have to have a more complex theory of evolution to account for all the multiple data we have, including, you know, the straight biological, morphological, the similarity and structure. I mean, who would have believed that dinosaurs, human beings, and birds all have the same skeletal structure, where you elaborate further and some of the appendages are longer, shorter, but there's a commonality there, that you have the distribution of fossils throughout geological strata, and then the more distant geological strata have the much primitive forms of life, and as you come forward, it gets more complex. And all this then becomes eventually compounded by reaching the point where you can develop culture, and then you have cultural evolution that takes place virtually at the speed of sound or the speed of light, because you can transmit ideas, fashion, you know, like songs and modes of dress and all that become transmitted so fast, whereas genetic reproduction is constrained by the length of time for go through the process, 9 months for reproduction as a rule. It's really fascinating stuff. I mean, the cultural reproduction is transient traits, things that can be changed. This is why we have different kinds of clothing, organization of society, practices of rituals, religions, all that, versus genetic, which is slower, more steady, but it's all governed scientifically, meaning by laws of biology, laws of evolution. Well, the whole purpose of my book is to demonstrate how human beings are complex causal systems and explain the nature of mentality as itself a causal system, where consciousness, it entails understanding the nature of mind from a broad perspective, broader than simply language. Involving the use of signs, where signs are things that stand for other things in some respect or other, where there are three basic classes of signs that were defined by the great American philosopher Charles S. Peirce, in my opinion, the only great American philosopher, though there are many who think they are, where Peirce distinguished between icons, which are things that look like what they stand for, photographs, paintings, drawings, images, maps, if you understand the way in which they resemble that for which they stand, the indices, which are causes or effects of which they stand, like smoke and fire and heat and ashes are all signs of fire. Sometimes the signs like red bumps and an elevated temperature require expert for their interpretation, a diagnosis of the measles. The third level is symbolic. That is to say, things that are associated with that with which they stand, not by virtue of a resemblance relation, not by virtue of a cause or effect, but merely by a matter of convention or habitual association. For example, you could have a painting of a horse that is an icon. You can have the dropping of a horse, watch your step, make sure you don't get in it. But you can also have word horse, H-O-R-S-E. Now, the word horse doesn't look like a horse. It's not a cause or an effect of a horse. Once we reach the point of being able to use symbols as a higher level of mentality, then we are able to, as it were, transition beyond the locale of space and time in which we're actually physically located, where lower level species are only able to interact with and think about, have thought transitions in terms of signs. They're more or less immediate vicinity. And yet I discovered the mountain gorilla has not only iconic and indexical, but also very crude symbolic capability, which was rather fascinating. but you are able to transcend space and time by building the equivalent of models. You can have the equivalent of mental models that enable you to think things through, encounter hypothetical situations, anticipate, plan. This whole business about planning, you see, becomes much more important from the point of view of geographic distribution, because once you get into a climate where you have seasons, you've got to anticipate the future that you're going to need to. It's like the squirrel storing up nuts for the winter, see? And those who didn't have that capacity or inclination don't survive to reproduce. I mean, this is very broad brush. Minds turned out to be sign-using or semiotic system. Just to give you an illustration, here are a couple that show how human thinking takes place and how it is not the case that human minds function in the same way as do digital machines. That's the computational conception, although immensely popular, is flawed. I was looking out a window of the third floor of my home in Duluth, and it was nothing but fog, nothing but fog that day. And it reminded me of a postcard I had that it was nothing but fog that said Seattle. Now, that was a thought transition iconic to a symbolic, because Seattle, my son resides in Seattle. I therefore thought of my son as the location where he is and how he had graduated from Reed as an undergraduate. He'd done his undergraduate thesis as a play that neither I nor others who read the play could tell if it were a comedy or a tragedy. My wife's sister read it, said she thought it was the most depressing thing she'd ever seen. And yet when it was performed on the stage, it was marvelous. It was hilarious, which told me how my son had the ability, the gift to understand how something he wrote as a playwright would come across on the stage, and he'd wind up writing many others. Here's another. I taught twice at the University of Virginia, and we would drive to Virginia and going through, there were these beautiful hills, you know, in Virginia. It made me think of the song, you know, Country Road. Made me think of John Denver singing it, John Denver flying in this experimental lightweight aircraft that crashed and brought about his death. Now, these kinds of ordinary thought transition can be understood in terms of icons, indices, and symbols, plus emotional association from the effects of your life, because we all have various experience in life that make a certain kind of impact, so that this is another way in which human beings and machines differ. Machines don't have any emotional attachment, and none of the programs that process the machine mean anything to the machine. They mean something to the machine user, so that, you know, I have published, my God, I don't know, dozens and dozens. I got big books on this, AI Scope and Limit, probably the most important. Then I have a introduction called Philosophy and Cognitive Science that went into a second edition. I mean, I love all this stuff, but I'm just telling you, in my judgment, and having developed a whole causal theory to account for it, there's nothing about human existence that requires an intervention that is supernatural. It just isn't there.
Huh. Well, that's amazing. Go ahead, Scorpio.
Yeah, Jim, I just wanted to address that. Your point, you know, I think the most important point Giuseppe was making is that you can't create life. You can't even create any type of one-cell life in a lab or any other mechanism. So there had to be something outside that started the whole beginning of life. And, you know, you're making some really good points about evolution, and I agree with a lot of them. But, you know, I don't believe personally that man came from monkeys, because, for one thing, why are there still monkeys? I mean, one group of monkeys became, you know, shed their hair, created art, music, culture, language, and evolved into human beings. But the other group of monkeys stayed monkeys. I just don't think that's plausible, personally. And the other thing, too, you know, I don't think a lot of the dinosaurs actually existed. There's a lot of fraud. I don't know if you've ever looked into it, but there's a lot of fraud with these so-called dinosaur bones that they've found with, like the T-Rex and some of these larger dinosaurs. There's a lot of fraud in the archaeological sites at the very beginning.
All right. Scorpio. I taught for 35 years course in critical thinking. The last 10 or so, I use a book on fraud and fallacy in archaeology, okay? Now, you and Giuseppe are both buying into simplified models. If you think it's just randomness and natural selection, you cannot account for the evolution. And if you think that man descended from monkeys, you know, which is a popular way of thinking about it, that's simply a misunderstanding. We're talking about straw men. We're talking about two simple versions of a position that are easy to attack, defensible, but they don't represent the more sophisticated version, which you'd find in my work, for example, because it was my systematic inventory in developing how many causal mechanisms there were at work, both to produce genetic diversity and to apply selective pressures. The primates and human beings, we are primates. We belong in the same family, but we're not directly descended of monkeys. It's just we have common genetic ancestors that all develop in a branching tree structure. So it's just wrong. It is amusing that was it the wife of the bishop of, was it Westchester, when told Darwin's theory of evolution that was put to her that man had descended from the apes, she replied by saying, well, let us hope it's not true, but if it is, that it not become widely known. But look, nothing in modern science makes any sense absent evolution, Scorpio. I mean, there's just no way to make sense. And there's so many sciences that converge here. Believe me, you know, I don't take anything for granted, and I build every, you know, structure stone by stone. In others, I do my homework, and, you know, I'm very attuned and open to addressing any potential criticism, but it's very easy to think that evolution is indefensible when you're dealing with simple versions that are not adequate to the phenomena, because those are indefensible. The fact is there are more sophisticated versions, such as those I elaborate, that actually can accommodate with the data, and it's fascinating. It's really fascinating stuff.
And we should do a whole show on it someday.
Yeah, yeah. Much of my, originally that book was going to be entitled Biology and Behavior, because I'm talking about how our biology predisposes us to behave in certain ways. And this is distinctive of every species, that their biology predisposes them to be certain ways. I also talk about the mechanisms of learning and conditioning. We're hitting the break, so we'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
That the creation of the first elements of life is a challenging problem. I'm not totally abreast of the latest research, but it appears there was some kind of primordial soup that the first forms of life appear to have been created in the ocean. I mean, just suppose we had algae create and that, say, some kind of black algae developed a single light-sensitive cell. If that light-sensitive cell was adaptive and helped it to survive and reproduce, then you'd get more of this algae with a light-sensitive cell. And if they acquired motility, if they could get on land and be able to move around, you begin to get the inkling, granting highly sketchy and incomplete, of how life could have originated. But this I agree, but it doesn't require a supernatural, a divine source. Just remember, science progresses in stages, and there's always a lot that we don't know at one stage that we subsequently discover, learn, and know about at a subsequent stage. And I do not think that the origin of life, in terms of the biochemical soup that was required, is an unsolvable problem, even if it may not have been solved by now. So I appreciate all your concerns, both you, Scorpio, and Giuseppe. Do we have a caller, Giuseppe?
Well, yes, we do, Jim, and I honor your efforts of, research and academic rigor. I mean, it's fascinating, and, you know, it could be that we're both right, and it's just awesome to have discussions like this. But we are joined by the first caller from area code 913, so please tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what would you like to discuss today? Hello? Are you there?
Is this me or somebody else?
Yep, go ahead. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Scott in San Diego.
Hey, Scott, how are
you? I'm 913, though. I think you got somebody else.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead, Scott. The first one on, so go ahead.
Oh, okay, thanks. Hey, I'm so glad that you guys are talking about this, because I've had this question.
Please leave your message for 913278 47.
Hold on 1 second. It's gone. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Jim, I have a question. Now, it was mentioned already about the humans evolving from apes. My question is, is evolution is the genetic adaptation to the environment, correct?
Well, it's much more complex than that. It's a
right. I'm talking in general. I don't because there's more to this.
Scott, hang on.
Yes.
I said, you know, the idea of humans evolving from apes is a false version. It's a common genetic lineage. Think of a branching tree structure. The apes are off on one branch. Humans go on another branch. Okay, we did not descend from the apes. That's just a common way of putting it, and that's why I reported how early on Darwin's research was being described in that language, and you had the reaction that I described. Now, go from there, Scott. Go ahead.
Okay, so now going on, the common knowledge is that we came from apes. Okay, without getting into detail.
That's a widely held false belief.
So my question is this. Okay, so if we evolved from apes, then we had fur at one time, right? And we're supposed to learn from other animals. What other animal on Earth skins another animal and wears its skin for warmth?
Scott, what's that supposed to mean?
What that means is if we evolved, then why did we lose our fur in the first place and then have to skin animals to wear fur to keep warm?
Scott, is this supposed to be a trick question or something? I mean,
no, it's a contradiction.
Evolution. You're getting into cultural evolution and practices.
No. Okay, so we evolve. Now the common is that we evolved from apes. We had fur. Somehow we lost the fur and had to skin animals for their fur. That's what I'm saying.
You're getting silly. I mean, really. There were many stages of human existence. There were the Neanderthals. There were the very four different types of, the.
Did any of them have hair, like furry? Were they furry like animals?
Not furry.
In the beginning?
Understand the difference between hair and fur? And look, this is something that obviously is a pet peeve of yours. But we're not.
No. It's
a worthwhile discussion if you ignore every point I'm making. Skinning.
No. I didn't mean that. I wasn't attacking you, Jim. I have the deepest respect for you, man.
Scott.
I was just a question that I thought was, you know, kind of an important question because it sort of ties things together.
It doesn't tie anything together because it's misconceived. You're talking about difference between genetic and cultural evolution. The practice of skinning animals you might or might not do, depending on your environment, wearing them as pelts or whatever, you might or might not do, depending on your environment. It's not essential to be a human being that you skin animals or wear their pelts, and that only would occur at a certain stage. So may have occurred relatively early on in terms of development of subpopulations in areas where the weather was very inclement. When you had a lot of cold weather, obviously to survive, you got to find a way to keep yourself warm. But
you know what,
right,
Jim? This is Scott.
There's
hold
furry
on.
Monkeys and
hold on, Scott. This is, you know, you made your point, and Jim has a phenomenal body of work. But let's move on. We clearly see where everybody stands, and everybody's made their point. I'm curious, Scott, what do you think about what Joaquin Hagopian was saying in hour one about taking the world court could make a difference? Do you think there's any chance that a UN body could actually be used for good against the globalists?
No, I think the UN is run by the globalists. It doesn't seem like you're going to use the system to prosecute the system. You know what? I saw a movie recently that I just discovered. It's called Dave Dies at the End or John Dies at the End. Have you seen that?
I've never heard of it, huh? That's interesting. What's it about?
It's it's trippy. It's about a drug that opens portals, and the drug happens to be a black goo like substance.
I don't think so.
Yeah, John dies at the end. I think it really puts a lot of things in perspective. It's like a horror comedy thing. But anyways, uh-huh. Yeah, I don't understand. You know, I'm hearing all this stuff. It's weird how the media is kind of pivoting off of the COVID narative and getting on to this thing about the Hillary Clinton crap. Are they expecting us to just kind of go, oh, okay, so I guess that's over, and let's move on to something else?
Well, that's exactly what they're doing.
We're coming up on the midterms. They've read the polls. The polls say Biden's and the Democrats are going down big time because everybody hates everything they're doing. So they're trying to reconstitute. They're now taking back defunding the police. They're claiming they're funding the police. They're taking back the mandates. By the time Biden gives his State of the Union on the 1st of March, he's going to try to mandates as he can and play a Boris Johnson role so he can be the hero. He's going to claim that he's, you know, defeated Putin over Ukraine when Putin had no interest in invading Ukraine. It was all just puffery to make it look as though when Putin did not invade Ukraine, which he never intended to do, that Biden was responsible for talking him down. They're trying to inflate this guy who's useless. He doesn't have a functioning brain. He's totally incompetent. He's a sock puppet for George Soros. But the Democrats want to, if they possibly can, and it's too little too late, forestall a bloodbath on the midterm. I mean, they will lose, I predict, 100 seats in the House and 3 or 4 Senate seats, and the whole situation politically is about to be reversed. They're desperately trying to save themselves from a defeat of greater proportions than any in previous American political history, Scott. That's what's going on. Just happened.
Scott, hold on. We have another caller. Stay on the line. We have another caller, Jim, in Scorpio. Area code 913. Are you there? Tell us your name and number, and what would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hello, James. Hello, Scorpio, and hello, Giuseppe. This is John from Missouri.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I talked to you guys quite a bit about all kinds of things.
Right.
You know, you guys have quite a vast topic selection today.
Yeah.
I had a guest speaker earlier. I've heard his testimony, and what I must say is what an amazing story on that guy, you know, him to go through all that with West Point and all that and over defeat them. But, if I may weigh in on the evolution part, you know, I find it fascinating that anyone in the world can think that a baby took care of itself. I mean, that is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard in my life, because the first time it screamed, it would be gobbled up by all the wildlife. I mean,
where do you come up with that? A baby taking care of itself? I mean, it's pretty bizarre.
If you think that evolution started by, you know, development and things just after a while just starting to happen, well, it was just birth to man from all this evolution. I mean, it had to start out as a baby, I'm pretty confident.
So why do you say if I think that when I've already explained I don't think that?
Well, I didn't say you think that. I just am saying that for anybody to think something like that is just kind of out there.
When it comes,
I mean,
to
it's pretty obvious.
Men out there, people who really haven't immersed themselves in the subject and haven't thought it through. I'm sorry, but that's just a typical. So
I commend you for having the good topics to just to have a discussion on these things.
If you're going to pitch evolution, you might as well pitch biology, and that's just lunatic. So that's my take on it.
I think we've addressed evolution enough for today. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well,
hey,
yeah,
I have a question for James.
Hold on, Scorpio's talking.
No
hold
problem.
On, you can ask in a minute.
Yeah, I think we should do a whole show on this, honestly, but it is sort of a contentious point. I don't want to delve into it any further other than I believe there was a creator, and everything about life to me illustrates that. But We have to be able to agree to disagree on some points.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, if an issue isn't complex and controversial, why bother, right?
Well, there you go. Simple. That's a good point. Yeah.
And if it's
absolutely
not controversial, you know.
Yeah, we're all adults. Nobody has to be right or wrong. So we can talk about anything. So
why not? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So Jim, I wanted to ask you just briefly, did you hear about the lawsuit that Remington settled for, what, $68 million
or
something?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and I saw the speeches. I'll let the caller come on. But, you know, I saw the speeches by the families, and these were obviously written by some kind of scriptwriter. I mean, they were so dramatic and crafted this isn't the way people really speak. Just the whole thing is really strange. It's probably some kind of money laundering operation in all likelihood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a blog about it. If anyone goes to jamesfetzer.org, you'll see one of Joaquin's, and then the prior is about Sandy Hook Settlement and some of the proof we have that the whole thing was a staged event. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. This is just milking it for all it's worth. Barack Obama paved the way. This was Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Eric Holder, Daniel Malloy, Newtown School Board, a whole bunch of members of the Newtown community were involved in perpetrating this fraud so they could basically reinforce one another's testimony, but it was all a scam. Believe me, I know whereof I speak. And this is, it's just outrageous that they keep pushing it further and further and further. And now, of course, they're threatening to go after other gun manufacturers on the basis of having defeated Remington. Let me mention, I sought to intervene in the Remington suit, this Soto versus Remington. And not only did the Sandy Hook parents object, but Remington objected. When I was simply making the point that no one had established whether anybody died at Sandy Hook. They've all just begged the question, taken for granted it was authentic. And here's a good one for you, which you'll see if you go to my blog. Donna Soto, who's the first name plaintiff in this lawsuit against Remington, allegedly the mother of a Sandy Hook teacher by the name of Victoria Soto, is played by the same woman who played Susan Breaux in Charlottesville as the alleged mother of Heather Hyers, supposed to have died in the car crash. They use the same crisis actor. So go to my blog and you'll see it there. I mean, this is the degree to which they're insulting us right to our face.
Yeah, no doubt, Jim. I mean, this is, you know, what do the communists like to do? They like to take your guns. And this is, you know, we have traitors at the highest level of this government in this country right now who are serving a globalist / communist agenda. And it is unfortunate that it's going to fail, but it's unfortunate that they have the level of power they do, and they keep they're like a cancer. They keep eating away at our rights and freedoms, especially the Second Amendment. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, this is just, the camel's nose under the tent here with suing gun manufacturers. It's like, well, let's sue hammer manufacturers, too, every time someone's injured from a hammer.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the same kind of logic. But this is going to open the door for all kinds of lawsuits every time there's one of these shootings. So this is how one way they may be able to just drive the manufacturers out of business and, at the very least make guns very, very expensive for people to buy.
Should have been rejected outright. It's like suing General Motors because some driver ran over a pedestrian driving a Buick. So we got to sue General Motors. It's just absurd. The whole idea is completely absurd, and your point about the hammer is well taken.
Yeah.
Did Scott have a question you wanted to squeeze
Scott
in?
Scott left, but I think John might still
be here. I have
a
question.
Go for it, John.
Yes. You know, I just want to say what makes your show so great is you being able to ask just any question about any topic. I mean, you guys should be commended for that. And that's what's going to be your success and key to success. And when that day it ends is when it's all over. And I just thank you guys for just allowing all that to take place and happen. And you answered my question. I was going to ask, why wouldn't the guy that wrote the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook not show up at that Remington thing and call them all out on the carpet? And you just perfectly answered it. And I'm glad that you were, you know, urged to go intervene, because that's what a real loving, kindness person that cares about other people other than themselves would do. And I just thank you for saying that before I even got to ask you.
Well, over and beyond my own suit, which was a completely fabricated suit brought against me, I've sought to intervene in four different cases involving Sandy Hook, with Alex Jones, with Remington. In fact, I sought to interview in both the Alex Jones in Texas and the Alex Jones in Connecticut, which is still ongoing. In fact, I'm having exchanges with his attorneys even while I was on the air with a show here during the break. I had an exchange with them where they were pointing out that a point I had made was mistaken, to wit that there's a 2-year statute of limitations on wrongful death suits in Connecticut. And that the shooting, of course, was on 14 December 2012, but that the lawsuit wasn't filed until 2015, suggesting to me that it wasn't timely. And one of the attorneys, whose name is Wolman, was explaining to me it's got to do its time from when the summons is served and not when the case is actually docketed. So I told him how I appreciated that, and that if I could he's actually an Alex Jones attorney and not involved in the Remington case. And I just told him if I could lend a hand. But what I don't like about what they're doing is they're going with the official narrative that 20 kids and 6 adults died at Sandy Hook. I think that's a colossal blunder, because I have a mountain of proof that nobody died at Sandy Hook. And Alex Jones, unfortunately, has been on both sides of the issue. Sometimes he said, yeah, it was a hoax and nobody died. Other times he said, no, it was real. People died. So the problem is he's vulnerable either way you cut it. He's been on both sides of the issue and thereby compromised himself, in my opinion, irredeemably.
Yeah, and I couldn't help
but notice. I couldn't agree with you more.
Scorpio, go ahead.
Yeah, I just was going to say, I couldn't help but notice that in this press conference, you know, so many of the parents are, you know, of these so-called, you know, children, they're Jewish. And, you know, it's just, the whole thing reeks of a hoax to me. I'm sorry. It just, those speeches that they read at this lawsuit were just completely bogus. They're not the way real people actually talk and present themselves when a family member dies. And I think even this lawsuit is there's something fishy about it as well.
Scorpio, yeah, you're right. You're spot on. I mean, it reeked of a hoax because it is a hoax. And yeah, I like your point about the speechifying and, you know, that this was script. And yeah, they do this all the time. It's pretty pathetic. In Orlando, you had one of the obvious blatant crisis actors saying, can we get rid of the assault weapons? You know, lost a child, right, or relative. And that's what the first thing on your mind is, talking about assault weapons. Give me a effing break.
Yeah, man, that's it.
It's also pathetic. And, Jim, you know, they just admitted on the PBS NewsHour a couple of days ago that Russia has been using actors to play parts in propaganda events that didn't really happen. I mean, it's all coming out, except for it's only the Russians do things like that. Our government would never do that.
The Russians aren't doing that. We're doing that, you know. Look at the chemical attacks in Syria. You had the local residents go out, lie on the ground. They did the clip. Then they get up, dust themselves out, and go collect their money. You know, I mean, it's just pathetic. It's a U.S. It's a West. This is a catch when they start talking about Russia committing a false flag. The public starts to get the concept of a false flag. And once they get the concept of a false flag, then they can see it has many instances that were committed by the United States, by our own government. So, you know, they wandered into territory where there's going to be a considerable repercussions not to their liking.
It's a really interesting point from Poppy in the chat, Rev Radio chat. The parent company of Remington, something like Cerebus, was in on it. That's why it was not challenged. So once again, the Synagogue of Satan owns all these companies like Vanguard, like BlackRock, like Goldman Sachs, and so they have their globalist agenda. Unbelievable. I mean, it's...
I think he's right. I mean, why would Remington oppose me entering the lawsuit when I was obviously going to give evidence that was going to exonerate Remington?
Right.
And yet they opposed me just as much as the Sandy Hook parents. Remington sells a huge amount of firearms to the American military. But in this case, I have no doubt Remington was in on it. Remington was in on this. I have no doubt.
May I comment?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe the same reason why Remington won't comment is the same reason Alex Jones won't have you on a show, because they know damn good and well that nobody died at Sandy Hook. And I think Alex Jones has been compromised. Whether they got to him and bought him off or they cloned his ass, I don't know, but something is definitely different about that cat. And I will say, if they wanted to head the problem, they could just bring James Setzer and have you explain some stuff. But they don't want to do that because they know they'd be exposed. I watched live on TV the shooter in the woods running through the woods, and they showed it live on TV. I was standing there in the lunch line getting something to eat, and it's on TV, the shooter in the woods, but then the helicopter takes off, and Alex Jones happened to be at that time on fire pointing all that out, and they didn't like it. And then it was right after that, things started to change with that guy. And like I said, Remington could clear themselves and Alex could clear themselves had they communicated with you and got your information, but they know it's fake, and I think they've been compromised.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right.
Great show today.
My case wouldn't allow me to introduce the massive evidence I had that nobody died at Sandy Hook, even though I was being sued for asserting that a death certificate for one of the decedents was fake, which, if I'm right, nobody died at Sandy Hook would have to be the case. The judge ruled that he didn't want to go down that rabbit hole. He knew I had a different idea what did or didn't happen there, but that it's not relevant, according to the judge, the accuracy or the truthfulness of a death certificate for a decedent that was described in the death certificate as having died at Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds. That's how bad it gets. And Alex Jones gave a video deposition in Connecticut where he said he'd never read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. And how can a guy who's taking a stand not read the one scientific comprehensive 13 contributors, including 6 PhDs? That was bizarre. Thank you.
Because Alex sold out and sold his soul.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle, live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle,
the Perfect Triangle
with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict. But